This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. 10 years ago, business leaders and many others in Kalamazoo were trying to figure out what was next after Pfizer's purchase of Pharmacia and Upjohn. Among the many efforts to keep jobs in the area and bring in new business was the Southwest Michigan First Innovation Center. 10 years later, many of the companies that were started continue to operate there. Some companies that launched at the Innovation Center in Western Michigan University's Business Technology and Research Park have expanded and moved to their own facility. Joining us today to discuss the first 10 years of the Innovation Center is the CEO of Economic Development Agency Southwest Michigan First, Ron Kitchens. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And also Collexin CEO David Zimmerman is with us. He helped start the company, which launched in the Innovation Center, and Collexin has since moved to its own building, but still in the Business Technology and Research Park. David, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And also with us is Al Jones, who covers business for MLive and the Kalamazoo Gazette. Al, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And first question goes to you.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Good. It's been 10 years for the Innovation Center. It seems we can remember when they were digging the first shovel full and things were going well. At the time, there was a lot of scientists who were coming out of Pharmacia Corp after Pfizer took over in 2003. Entrepreneurship was the call word of the day, getting guys who had spent a lot of time in wet labs doing nano work with particles and molecules to start their own businesses. How do you think things are going, Ron?
I think they're strong. I think it's amazing when we look back. You know, we went from a culture of one big institution, the Upjohn Company, founded here, created great capacity in the community, to now, you know, the Innovation Center has worked with more than 100 companies, but we've also seen a whole culture of diverse entrepreneurship, companies that never had to go to the Innovation Center. We have companies that have, you know, are in statistical analysis for the pharmaceutical industry that have 30 and 40 employees today, and companies in packaging and technology advice. So it isn't just about a building, although the building is kind of that really tangible place. It's about a culture where you can go from molecule discovery to your pharmacist shelf, all in one community, or at least one West Michigan. And that continues to foster, but it also has built the culture of entrepreneurs that have nothing to do with life science. You know, as you're introducing David for a second, I thought, oh yeah, I forgot he's the CEO of Collexin. He's our partner in recruiting companies. So when we bring companies to town, it isn't life science companies he talks to, it's entrepreneurs. And so the Innovation Center has really become that tangible reminder of entrepreneurial responsibility.
David, let's talk a little bit more about Collexin. How did it all get started? How did you get in on the ground floor of this and build up a company which now 10 years later is still going quite strong?
No, it's been a fun story. My partner is Dr. Bob Gadwood, and the day that Pfizer announced and brought us all into a large break room and said, you don't have jobs anymore, and we will be waving you out of Kalamazoo.
And what were you doing at the time?
I was in the management within the Pharmacia company. You know, I was single at the time. I had no ties to the community. And Bob literally walked into my office probably 30 minutes after the meeting, and he sat down in a chair and he said, what are you going to do? And I'm shell-shocked. What am I going to do? I have no clue what I'm going to do. Well, Bob had conceived of the idea of starting a contract research organization. It was a model that we had worked with at Pharmacia, but we had always been on the client side of the table. Which really allowed us a great advantage in that we had on-the-job training paid for by Pharmacia to really organize and start the type of company we wanted. When we first got together, there were five of us. And as you can imagine, and Ron knows, with potential entrepreneurs, there's a huge dropout rate. And you're dealing with an industry like the pharmaceutical industry where scientists are very risk averse. And all of a sudden, five became four, became three, became two. And I paused because I was offered a management position down at St. Louis. And Bob kept asking and asking and asking, are you going to stay with me? Are we going to do this? And about 2 weeks later, I walked down into his office and I said, guess where I was at lunchtime? And he said, I don't know. I said, I went down to the Kalamazoo Symphony office and renewed my season tickets. And that was the start of our partnership.
Man. Well, you look at it now, you were one of the success stories. I think it's just you and Proteos. There's only maybe two that are still there. Proteos is still there. But you're a graduate, so you're a big success story, and you're still there in the BTR park.
That's correct. And it was a definite decision on our side when we decided to build research labs that we felt strongly we needed to be a part of the BTR. It's the scientific hub of the community. We envisioned Ron and Southwest Michigan First to continue to bring in new life science companies. And we wanted to be part of that environment, not only for the exchange of scientific ideas, but hopefully Ron would bring in small biotechs and pharmaceutical partners that would become our customers. So there was a selfish reason also for staying within the BTR.
Enlightened
part.
Self-interest. Yeah, it's exactly, not selfish. It's exactly. Enlightened self-interest.
Well, there are like 18 companies there that are still working. Really, in a nutshell, could you explain what it is Collexin does in a way that an eighth grader can understand?
Sure. No, I'd be happy to. Well, I'd be happy to try. Collexin provides chemistry services for pharmaceutical and biotech companies. And essentially what we are is a combination of architects and construction workers. And customers will come to us with a drawing. Can you make this for us? Or they'll come to us, this is our lead structure, can you modify it for us? So we become the architects in designing that new molecule or that new home, and then we build it. But instead of using wood and nails and shingles and asphalt, we use molecules and bonds. And it's really no more complicated than that.
Ron, explain for someone who's never tried to hang out their own shingle or start their own business, what's the advantage of being in one place with a lot of people who are in a similar line of work who are also trying to start a business or start something that is maybe not exactly what you're doing but is at least in the same vein?
There's a couple of things. First, there's a culture and a collegiality that it's very important. Fit's important. So not just anyone works in an incubator setting. If it's important to have big signage and lots of administrative staff, you're probably not right for an accelerator incubator. But this is a collegial place where people not only learn from each other's mistakes, they mentor each other, introduce to consultants and sales and the people that can help grow the whole culture, because it really is very interconnected. A lot of the companies are either working for the same clients or group of clients, or they're selling services to each other. And so it becomes this kind of mass and velocity. A number of the companies collaborate on bidding together. So they'll go after a project and add and amalgamate their talents and strengths to bring that work and those jobs back to this community.
Are there companies in the Innovation Center which are competing against each other?
Probably just for talent and attention. I would love for us to be the place where we had lots of companies competing against each other. That means we've grown the pie so much that we can support that. But right now, our entrepreneurs are really in a continuum, that continuum from discovery of that molecule to literally, we have people who tell you how to get through every process in consulting, to somebody who tells you how you put your product and market it on the shelves at Walgreens. We have everybody in that flow.
David, we talked a little bit about the fact that Collexin has moved out of the Innovation Center building. You're not far away
at all. No.
You're still in the BTR park. But take us a little bit through the decision to move out. And was that a moment when you perhaps realized a little bit more that you had made it as a startup firm?
Well, we started with about 500 square feet of space back in 2004 and two scientists. And the Innovation Center was set up more for biochemistry and biology, and not so much for medicinal chemistry, which has a huge need for fume hoods. And we didn't have the infrastructure in place. So as Collexin grew, we had to specially build out space on the second floor of the Innovation Centers for the type of technology that we needed. And we had built out 6,000 square feet, so essentially the south wing of the Innovation Center. And the decision came, do we continue to invest in this, or do we believe in our growth and make that leap of faith and build our own infrastructure? And it worked out exceedingly well. The development company that built the building for us formed a partnership. So there's actually an LLC that owns the building itself, and members of Collexin own half of that, and the development company own half of that, and then Collexin pays lease to that. So it made for, it really mitigated our risk, which was great, being a company that had only been in business, you know, for what, 4 years when we broke ground. And, you know, it was a very exciting time because it was a very surreal experience to think, you know, 4 years ago, I was in this safe laboratory management position within Pharmacia, and now I'm building a $5 million building. And I'm signing away all my 401ks, and I'm personal guaranteeing all of this. You know, and if you would have told me that 5 years ago, you know, it would have never happened. But it did happen. It was successful. You know, we moved Thanksgiving weekend back in 2007, and we didn't hire big moving companies. We had caravans of our employees' cars circling from the Innovation Center over to our new building by the soccer field of Western and back and forth and back and forth with boxes. So it was this family move. And, you know, that's what I've really enjoyed about Collexin and our culture. It is a family culture. It's a very tight-knit group of people. You know, we have 37 employees on staff, and it's wonderful. I love telling this story.
How many scientists?
We have 25 scientists working at the bench.
You're listening to West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We are speaking with David Zimmerman. You just heard him there. He's the CEO of Collexin, one of the companies that started in the Southwest Michigan First Innovation Center, now celebrating its 10th anniversary. We're also joined by Southwest Michigan First CEO Ron Kitchens. And also here today is Al Jones of MLive and the Kalamazoo Gazette. Al, what else would you like to ask about?
I'll ask this to both David and to Ron. What's the coolest thing that's about to happen? Ron knows I'm always after him about telling me what is it that's about to happen that nobody knows about. For a company like Collexin, what's the next big hit? Because you're working with companies, they're coming to you. So at what point do you become Johnson & Johnson, or what point do you break out more walls and hire 500 people? I mean, what's the next big thing for your company?
I think it's continuing to watch the changes going on in the pharmaceutical industry as not only they restructure their operations, but they look at what they've lost in terms of letting go a lot of their very senior talented scientists and recognizing that those needs have to be met somewhere. And they're knocking on our doors and they're picking up the phone and calling us. And that has only started probably in the last 12 months. So I think we're at the beginning of that trend where we're going to see more interest, not only from the small companies, which tends to be our client base, but large pharma coming back and saying, oh, we need some very talented scientists to figure out these problems, and we're not getting those answers overseas. So now we want to come back and have a domestic presence, and I really think that's going to drive our future growth.
The overseas, they thought they could get it cheaper?
They do get it cheaper. They don't always get what they want. You know, they get a lot of work done and they get a lot of compounds. But as I tell customers, if you don't make the right compound, your investors don't care, because if you don't get to the clinic and have a success, it doesn't matter that you have a shelf full of hundreds and hundreds of compounds. You need that one compound that's going to be the winner.
Sugar and salt look exactly the same in the bowl.
Right.
They do dramatically different things.
Yep.
You know, I think mine is the opposite somewhat of David's. I am really excited about the new rules coming forward on crowdsourcing. We've got great, really talented senior people here, but we have a whole next generation of Michiganders, of college students coming out who are doing some really interesting thing. But, you know, in the past, you've had to leave. If you need money to do that, you got to go to one of the coasts to do it. With the knowledge base here and with the capacity to globally raise the money at the micro level, It's one of those things we're very much paying attention to as the new rules come out and working, because we think we can retain a lot of bright talent in Michigan. And if you can keep people to stay in Michigan, then it's really two places in the state on the biopharma side. It's Ann Arbor, Kalamazoo on that entrepreneurial piece, Grand Rapids on the Van Andel Institute healthcare academic research. We stand to be a great beneficiary of that. So I'm really excited about what's going to happen. Congress approved it. They're just writing the rules right now. So this year we're going to see it.
You know, the idea of a business incubator, I suppose 10 years ago, was not really new. It was still kind of getting off the ground, I guess, here. But I'm wondering, you know, there are business incubators all over. What makes a good one? What makes one that has worked as well as it has for you in Kalamazoo, as opposed to one that maybe is just a warehouse, I guess, where a lot of people happen to be gathered? What makes a good business
incubator? I'll give you my opinion, and then it's the talent of the entrepreneurs. It is not the building, although the Innovation Center has a very specialized space, and you need that specialized space, but that's not what success looks like. It's not about good management of the facilities. It's about entrepreneurs like David and the others who have been in there, who put their family at risk, who mortgage their house, who have the courage to say, I not only believe in me, but I believe in the place, in this community's ability for me to be successful, because he could have gone to St. Louis. You know, Bob could have gone to Connecticut. These were men and women who had great opportunity, and they took risk. All Southwest Michigan First did was risk other people's money. You know, we risked our credibility of, you know, taking a risk of failing. But you know what? My folks weren't going to go hungry if David didn't, you know, do his job. You know, David was going to go hungry. And his employees were going to go hungry. So this isn't about economic developers or even Western having the foresight to build the park. This is about entrepreneurs, men and women, who said, I believe.
But I think it goes back farther than that, because Kalamazoo has always had a history of entrepreneurship. And when Bob and I made the decision to start Collexin, we went around to those entrepreneurs. We went around to Rich Johnson, and we met with Bill Parfet, and we met with Paul Todd. And we asked them the hard questions. What are the challenges we're going to face? What are the lessons we're going to need to learn? And those people were so giving of their time. It was phenomenal. I had been over in Chicago, actually, with Barry Broom, and we were having dinner with an economic developer. And I was telling him all the things that were happening in Kalamazoo, all the people stepping up to support us and really provide us with a soft landing, where in most places, the entrepreneur hits a hard landing. You know, we had lawyers stepping up to offer pro bono. We had accountants stepping up to offer pro bono. We had people sitting down and saying, we will help you write business plans. Bob and I had no clue what a business plan was. And so there was this whole community looking forward at the same vision, and that's unique to Kalamazoo. I was telling Gordon before we got in here, I flew back from Hartford, Connecticut last week, and there was a gentleman sitting next to me from Grand Rapids. He knew all about our history. He knew about the Kalamazoo Promise, and he knew about the Innovation Center, and he knew about all the companies that had spun out. I don't know that much about Grand Rapids. I don't know that much about Lansing or Ann Arbor. But here was a gentleman from another city. He knew what was going on in Kalamazoo. And I think that speaks loudly to our success.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you. This has been an interesting discussion. Thank you for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Ron Kitchens is the CEO of Economic Development Agency Southwest Michigan First. David Zimmerman is the CEO of Collexin. And we've also been joined by Al Jones, who covers business for MLive and the Kalamazoo Gazette, discussing the 10th anniversary of the Innovation Center here in Kalamazoo. This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.